up, y'all, and welcome back to Found Bites, a game review series. My name is Brian, and I'll be your host. If you don't know about us, we're all about testing out and finding small, high-quality video games. This is a podcast that aims to respect your time and money as a gamer and a consumer by sifting through storefronts and sales to find those gems that may be worth your precious resources. If you're interested in reaching out or helping out, check out the links in the description of each episode to access our email, Twitter, website, and YouTube channel. But enough about the show, let's get into our next game. Animal Well is the game for this week's episode. Animal Well is a 2D Metroidvania platformer, and definitely some comparisons to some older school games like Super Metroid, the early Zelda games, 1, 2, and Link to the Past, as well as games like Axiom Verge that we've talked about, Under Dungeon, Gris, and Gumbrella. The game was originally released in May of 2024 on PC, PS5, and Switch. The game was developed by Shared Memory, which is a single-person studio. His name is Billy Basso, and he works out of Chicago, so shout out, single-person dev. The game was published by Big Mode, which is a publishing company started by a YouTuber called Video Game Donkey. I haven't heard of him, maybe some of you have heard of him, but they published this game. However, the marketing and sort of the business side of this was done by Dan Edelman, who is a pretty well-known person in the industry. He did the marketing for Axiom Verge, and so a lot of pundits know that name. The game had a physical release, and that is happening right now in June of 2024 through Limited Run Games, and they have that available for PS5 and Switch, and there's a standard and collector's edition. Collector's edition has a bunch of kind of extra goodies there. The game originally released with an MSRP of $24.99. Limited Run Games editions, the standard, released for $40, and the collector's edition was going for $100. I don't know if pre-orders are still live for that, but maybe check that out. Runtime of the game, if you're just going straight through, not doing any of the extras or endgame or post-game stuff, it could take you about 6 to 7 hours, maybe a little more. And then there is a ton of extra content that might take you over 15, maybe close to 20 hours. The game does have a platinum trophy for our PlayStation listeners. And me, I've been playing it on PlayStation on PS5, and I got it on sale for $22.49, so for about 10% off. And I put in about 6 hours, maybe closer to 7, and I did beat it, or at least I had the credits come down because I got the 4 things I was supposed to get. But after the credits, there's still a lot to do, so a lot of extras there. I might go back and try to get some of the extra stuff. And in terms of recommendation, I originally saw this circulating on Twitter that this game was coming out and then around launch day. But the guys on Sacred Symbols, a PlayStation podcast, definitely talked about this game. I know Colin is a big fan of Axiom Verge, so he definitely jumped on this. But what was really interesting is that I heard about it and I'd seen a lot of things. But when I turned on the PlayStation Store, it was one of the games that was available, like being advertised, like new release or pre-order or something like that. And it was giving it 10% off. So that storefront is really interesting in that space where people get their eyes on games. I mean, Dan Edelman really must have pushed this game because it's really how I saw it and how I pulled the trigger, even though I did know about it beforehand. Thank you. All right, let's talk gameplay for Animal Well. So this is a 2D side-scroller platformer, so let's get into some of the basics. So you're moving your character right to left, and they move at one speed, and it's actually fairly fast. Like, you don't have to worry about belaboring over screens or things taking a long time. Like, the character actually does move pretty fast. And there's jumping. Button sensitivity is interesting in this game because the height of the jump does correlate with how sensitive the button is or how hard you press the button. It's very responsive. And in this game, you're going to be doing a lot of fast-paced platform jumping. And so there are times where you're going to be doing consecutive jumps very quickly, and you can do that. The game is very responsive, and that jump button is very responsive. So I really like that. You'll be interacting with things when a prompt comes up. Typically, this is save points where you can save. It might be other things where, like, you have to put something in that you have, or you take something out, but a prompt will pop up. And then you'll be using tools. So you'll get a wide variety of tools, and you'll be able to cycle through them. There's just the same button to use a tool. And in the bottom left corner, when you hit one of the buttons to cycle through, it'll swap through and tell you which one. And then you can also actually go to the menu, I believe, and select which one. But I think the cycling through is a little more fluid. So let's talk progression in this game. This is where the game is going to be interesting, and where, for a lot of you listening, this will decide whether you really want to get into this game. So there are no instructions. There are no prompts for what to do. There is no cutscene in the beginning. There is nothing. You're just plopped in, and you're just kind of meant to fend for yourself. There's no signs telling you where to go. There's no goal or purpose that's apparent to you. And in fact, there's almost no words in the game. The only time words pop up is when one of those prompts will pop up, whether to save or to interact with something. But it's actually very few and far between. So this is kind of an old school feel, maybe like Zelda 1, where it's like you're just plopped into this world and you're meant to kind of figure it out on your own. It might feel like aimless wandering for some people, but I feel that very quickly you soon find, like, oh, I go into this room and it looks like I could try to open that door by pressing this button or something like that. And so you kind of find a way to, I don't want to say distract yourself, but find a purpose, or like, oh, it seems like something needs to be solved in here. Let me just go and do it. And that's really going to be how you progress in this game. It's just you run into kind of a wall and you just try to figure it out. Most of the progression is going to be this room to room, screen to screen, nothing different from any Metroidvania you've ever played, whether you're looking on the screen or even in the map. If there's a gap on one of the four sides of a room, that means that that will go into the next room. So for example, if you walk into a room and there's a gap on the right side, that means if you keep walking right, you'll go onto the next screen. And same thing goes for if there's a gap on the bottom or the top. But the bottom's interesting because there's no pits. There's just you falling into the room below. So it's all about that room-to-room, screen-to-screen progression. Platforming in this game, like I said, you're going to be jumping, you're going to be doing a lot of consecutive jumps, and so that's really what you're going to be doing in terms of platforming. There are some times where you're jumping up through platforms. I don't think there's any way for you to jump down through certain platforms, it's only up through. And then there are going to be ladders that you can run up, you can actually jump up the ladders to help you go quickly. There are going to be things like rising platforms when you step on them. There are going to be a lot of timing challenges that have to do with buttons, and so you might step on a button and then something might rise, and then when you get off of it, like, it'll slowly come down. You have to run to maybe the other side of a room or something like that. So that quick kind of jumping in succession is going to be important. Buttons are going to be a lot of how you open doors, trying to get to the next room or trying to get to somewhere you haven't been before. It's going to really revolve around pressing buttons and possibly doing timing challenges. But this is where things kind of mix together between platforming and puzzling, because a lot of what you're going to be doing are like these timed puzzle challenges. And it's really going to involve whether it's opening doors or basically just how to get to the other side of the room, or how to get up there or down there, or I need to go there or I haven't gone there and I need to solve how to get there as best I can. And the way that you're going to accomplish this, or at least what's going to make it a lot easier, are these tools that you're going to find in the game. And these are things that you're going to find in chests in various locations throughout the map. Often they're going to be down a one-way location, or like going down a rabbit hole or going down this tangent. And then eventually you hit a dead end, and that's where there's like a chest that has this tool or something like that. The tools that you're going to get are very versatile. And what's really interesting is that they're not specifically required. They can all help you with the platforming and with the puzzle challenges. But what you're going to find is that a lot of these puzzle platform challenges can be solved multiple ways. There might be multiple ways to jump higher or get higher that could involve different tools or one over the other. So in a lot of instances, it's not like Zelda. It's not like very key in the lock type thing where like, oh, you need this one tool to get this place. For the majority of the game, you can use different tools. Like if you haven't found a certain tool, but you found a different one, that might be able to help you just as well. And what's also interesting about these tools is, like I said, they're very versatile and they often have multiple or hidden uses. Some that I found by accident, and that's really the best way that you find out, like, oh, I can use this thing this way. Towards like the middle of the game, or once you start to get an idea of where you need to go or what you need to collect, there are some tools where it's like, oh, you have to have this one, or you can't really live without this one. It doesn't happen often, but there were certain times where I was like, oh, you have to have this tool to be able to progress through this. Now, I don't want to spoil what the tools are, because I feel like in a lot of ways, the discovery aspect in this game, or finding out just what things are or how they work, is really part of the wonder. But a lot of these tools are going to be things like helping you boost higher or jump higher. There could be things to reach, like while you're standing there, that you throw and can kind of reach a longer range. They can actually maybe go down through platforms to reach things, like buttons to press them. There are going to be things that you can deploy on a screen, whether it's like a projectile or whether it's just it deploys out and then it sits there. And what's interesting is that they will stay there on that screen until you leave that screen. Now, if you want to use it again on that screen, you would have to actually go and retrieve that thing if you're trying to use it and maybe you messed up or maybe you dropped it the wrong way or something like that. You might have to go and retrieve it or just leave the screen and come back. Interacting with the environment is a very big thing in this game. So like I said, you might throw tools or they might have projectiles that can go and retrieve something or go and hit something. But there are certain parts of the environment that they can pass through, whether it's like certain floors or that they can't pass through, whether it's like vines that are hanging. And this is kind of a trial and error thing for you to figure out whether something can or can't pass through something. And it's really just a learning curve. You figure it out by just messing around and throwing things. There are going to be switches that will change certain blocks to be filled in versus not filled in. And when they're not filled in, you can pass through them. When they are filled in, you can't pass through them, but you can stand on them. It's very Link to the Past in that way, kind of like the orange and blue switches in some of the dungeons where like you turn it a certain color so you can pass through. So very similar here. What is super interesting, I believe, is that these switches and these blocks are found throughout the whole map. And whenever you hit a switch, it will change all of them throughout the whole map. So there's a little bit of strategy in that. You'll see cranks that you have to get to and you have to turn to sometimes raise blocks or something like that. And then so once you let go of them, the blocks will slowly start to fall. So it's like a time challenge like we've talked about. There will be automatic elevators that will either go down or go up in succession. So it's like a conveyor belt almost where you have multiple platformers just either going up in succession or down in succession. And some of these have switches where you can reverse the flow of them. So that's definitely going to link to some puzzle platforming there. And lastly, you'll have animals, as you may have expected. So there are going to be animals in this game that are seemingly kind of in the background. Sometimes you will be able to interact with them. Some of them are going to be good. Some of them are going to be bad. Some of them are going to actually attack you. And so you want to avoid that. But again, you have to kind of trial and error and figure out that by getting hit. And this is also where some of your tools are going to come in handy. So some of these tools you're going to be able to use to move these animals, whether it's the ones that help you. You might also use some of these tools to distract some of the animals that will hurt you. Again, I don't want to spoil, I don't want to give too many specifics, but there's not going to be anything that you use in terms of tools that is actually going to hit something. You just kind of have to think a little bit outside of the box. But the ones that are good are actually going to help you with the platforming, and at times they will be necessary for you to get them to help you, whether it's like a higher jump and you need to jump on one of them, so you need to like get them to move closer to the area that you're trying to jump to. And again, you can use multiple tools. There's that versatility a lot of different ways to get these things to move or to interact with them or to distract or deter some of these bad animals. The game does have bosses, and these are basically these larger animals that are not your friend. But again, you are not attacking them directly. You don't have tools that are actually going to hit anything or hurt anything. And so you're going to have to use the arena layout and what's going on to your advantage. So there might be things present, whether they are blocks or whether there are things that are moving, and you're going to have to avoid some kind of regular repetitive action that the boss is doing and then kind of use the environment to capitalize and get them to maybe hurt themselves or do something that is going to displace them or get you to leave the screen or move on. So again, it's all about sort of puzzling and looking at your environment and what you have to work with and maybe utilizing some of your tools. The pacing in this game is interesting. And again, this is what might deter some people from playing this game. You kind of have to just go until you can. What we mean by that is when you first start the game, you're kind of given a couple different directions you could go, and you just pick one and you go until you can't, and then you kind of bounce off of that and find another path or another way around where you were going to try and progress. So it's going to be based on a lot of your intuition and just open exploration. And again, it might be that you find a tool, see what it can do, and then you have a little aha moment like, oh, I remember that place. Maybe that could be where I could use this, or now I can jump higher so I can get to that one place that I saw before. And again, that is that Metroidvania aspect, but there is zero context. There are no hints. There is nothing telling you like, oh, you should use this or this can help you do this. It is all based on your intuition and you kind of doing that trial and error. This might be frustrating if you're a beginner, especially if you've never played a Metroidvania. I feel like at times you could throw your arms up or honestly get easily bored, but it's kind of presented as this sandbox where like anything is possible. You can just kind of try to figure it out. And in that respect, with all the tools, with all of the platforming, the game is honestly very simple. It's all deduction-based. So you could be looking at a screen for maybe 5 minutes, and then you get that aha moment of figuring out, oh, I just have to get there. I can utilize that. Or you might just be messing around with your tools, throwing them or using them, and all of a sudden you discover that second or third use by accident. That is honestly how I discovered about the tools and their versatility, is I honestly just threw things and I jumped or I did this and I was like, oh my gosh, what just happened? I don't even know what happened. And so that feeling of discovery is something that I think is very rewarding, as well as the different platforming things, interacting with the environment and the animals, just finding things out by mistake. Honestly, just getting a trophy for trying things out or not even recognizing what you just did is super interesting as well. The game does have a general path or purpose that I didn't figure out until kind of I collected the first one of these things. So there are, like, the main game has 4 basic things that you need to collect, and this slowly becomes apparent. In fact, I actually think that after you collect the first one, the other 3 will show up on your map as sort of like, here are these other things. I don't know if they're there beforehand. I don't remember seeing them, but that is the basic purpose or goal of the game, is to collect these 4 things. But other than that, there are a ton of extras. So a lot of it is collection based. There are these eggs that are out in the wild. And so as you're going through different rooms and different platform challenges, you might stumble upon like a secret area, or if the wall looks like it, there's a gap there, you might go through and you might find out that it's like a secret area or a secret tunnel. And then all of a sudden you find that there's one of these eggs there. And so collecting these eggs is interesting because there's actually an egg room in the game where if you get a certain number of eggs, like, it'll unlock a path to a reward or something like that. And this might be a tool. This might be access to a certain area. And so this sort of end game or post game, or even while you're playing the game, really has a lot of hidden secrets or hidden access that you get by collecting things, or even just by stumbling upon a different wall or some gap between walls where it's like, you know, I could actually fit my character down there. And all of a sudden you go into like a different tunnel or a different screen or something like that. And in terms of accessibility, this game has a fair amount of save points. Their spacing and their frequency is really good. This will be where you respawn after you die. And there is fast travel in the game. But again, this is going to be something that you have to discover or deduce on your own. There are no instructions for this. When you get the tool that allows you to fast travel, you might not even recognize it right away. But I will tell you that there is a tool, and it will open up different heads on the wall that are throughout the map that'll allow you access to like this central location, kind of similar to the Paper Mario games where it's like all the fast travel to the different worlds or whatever are in the sewers. It's like this central location where you can go. And then there is also a form of minor fast travel. If you go down like a dead end path, whether it's to find a boss or to get a tool, you're like kind of going down the rabbit hole and you recognize it's going to be difficult to get back. At the end of it, there might be something where you use one of your tools and you're able to quickly fast travel back to like the top of that so that you don't have to backtrack all that much, which is very similar to like in Elden Ring, like when you go into a cave or something like that and you beat the boss, you can just use the thing that'll return you to the beginning of the cave. And of course, getting hit or dying. So you do have hearts. I believe you have 4 hearts. And then as you pass through the environment, you might find fruit growing there to regain a heart that you can use. Anytime that you land on spikes, you're going to get hit and lose a health. Other hazards, whether it's different animals that are going to hurt you, all of that is going to be losing 1 heart. So when you get hit by that or when you fall on that, if you get eaten by something big, like a big animal or a boss, that's going to immediately kill you. If that happens, or if you run out of hearts, you're going to respawn back at the last save point that you saved. So be mindful of that. If you're passing on to somewhere like and you pass over a save point, you might want to save there to kind of mark where you'll respawn. Falling in water is super interesting because if you fall in water, you actually return to like the last stable land you were at and you don't lose hit points and you have a little kind of spiral circle like you got dizzy. This is really interesting because you're going to have long platforming sequences where you're falling down and then like moving across water onto blocks or onto like lily pads, and these are not defined as stable land. So if you fall into the water off of blocks or something like that, it'll bring you back to the last time you were on ground, which might be a little ways back. So some of these challenges are a little tough. It reminds me a bit of Infernax when you're like trying to go into a castle and get a key and come back out and save. So you need to like establish yourself on some kind of stable land. And again, it doesn't communicate to you, but you find out pretty easily like what is going to be that respawn point for if you fall in water. And then you have the map. The map is super pixelated, but it matches the environment. And the save points are put on the map and they're very obvious, these kind of yellow boxes. What I really like about the map is that you can add markers, and you can add like 64 on the map at once. And there are different icons that you can choose from, similar to Elden Ring. Like you can put one that has a question mark or one that has a diamond or one that has a heart or something like that. And then you can kind of create your own legend if you want to write it down in a notebook. So this is very helpful. Again, Metroidvania is a lot of backtracking, especially after you get a tool that allows you to jump certain things. You might want to remember like, oh, that big jump was here or that high jump was there or I couldn't reach that thing here, so that you know where to go back to. And again, the map is very good at communicating because much like if you're looking at the screen, if you look at the room on a map and there's a gap on one side or you don't see a wall, that means that that's probably a direction that you can go, whether it's to the right or whether it's down. So again, all about that deduction, sort of finding a path. I was rarely stuck for a long time not knowing where to go. Often I would look at the map and just be like, okay, what room on here do I see an opening to go to and progress more? And then so just that map and being so transparent can really help you explore or find your way to the next area. Let's talk about the vibe of Animal Well. So let's start with visuals. So this is pixels. It is super pixelated, almost on the level of like an Atari game. The colors are interesting. It's super dark. It's super cavernous, but there are these color pops. So any object has like this neon like outline or highlight, whether it's enemies, whether it's animals, whether it's you. So that makes it very obvious. And I really like the use of texture shading within the outlines. So the outlines of different objects or moving things are very obvious, but then I like how it's shaded in, whether it's on these big bosses or whether it's on certain animals. But it just makes things pop and makes it very easy to differentiate, especially because sometimes things will overlap, whether it's like you and different animals. The buttons and the save points are bright yellow, especially when you're looking on the screen and there are buttons that need to be pushed and there's the save point box. It's all bright yellow and the save points are bright yellow on the map. Most of the environment is blue with kind of like this dark background. When something in the environment is interactable or is preventing one of your tools from like moving or something like that, it's really going to be trial and error visually to make sure that something can pass through something else, especially the vines. Like vines are hanging in a lot of random places, and it really should only take you one time of throwing certain projectiles to know that, like, okay, vines are there, it's not going to pass through, I'm not going to be able to use that. But the different animals and whether they're enemies or not, this can be a little tough and require some trial and error, because some of these are going to be statues and some of these are going to be real and moving, and sometimes the statues will come to life. So it's really just about trial and error. I will say there is a surprising level of discernibility from a visual standpoint, because again, it is like Atari graphics. It's super pixelated. A lot of things are blue and an outline in blue, but once you start to see things move and pass through them or pass in front of them, you're really going to get used to being able to discern between whether something is behind you or whether you cannot pass through it. And again, it just takes kind of that trial and error. In terms of audio, I really like the music in this game. It's kind of low in terms of volume. It is ominous. It does give that cavernous feeling. It reminds me a lot of like the Donkey Kong Country games. Whenever you're in like a cave or a cavern, this kind of like, ooh, like ominous sort of music in the background, it really sets that tone. And whenever you see an enemy or a boss and you get into that arena, I really do like the pickup of it, like the beat just kind of dun 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 dun, like, okay, this is serious, something's going on. But overall, when you're out in the world, it really sets the mood for exploration, like going cave diving and just like this ominous sort of like damp, dank wetness that you kind of feel from the music. And in terms of sound effects, there's a lot of synth replacement for some animal noises. Like specifically, there's a giant frog that anytime its tongue comes out, you just hear like wow. As well as with the different tools and when they go out or whether they move, it's really satisfying hearing their sound effects, as well as like just random drips of water like you would hear in a cave. And finally, in terms of themes and setting, it's interesting. You're definitely down a well, you're in a cave, and there's lots of animals, just what you would expect from Animal Well. And some of them help you, some of them hurt you, like we've said. So this idea of like, there are different animals, you don't know what side they're going to be on, but the majority of them, I think, will help you. And I don't really know what you are. You're just this random round blob. I don't know the context for what you are or the continuity between how certain animals interact with you. There could be something meta. I don't know. I haven't really dove too much into the philosophy of you as this random blob. But it is interesting that you kind of reset when you jump in water. So I don't know if you're like some kind of jello-based blob or something like that. I might be reading way too much into it. I do like this nonchalant attitude when it comes to the game in general. It could be how things move, how easily you die, like if something eats you, the way that animals interact. It's just like no-brainer. If you use this tool, it's going to react this way, and it happens right away. It's just, it's so like, yeah, we're all here. There's animals in this well. Like, you know, it is what it is. And there's a lot of themes of like light and dark. You will get certain items that'll allow you to illuminate areas, and that might have an effect on certain ghosts or spirits that tend to be moving around, as well as there are different shrines, so some kind of light, dark kind of worship type thing. And what is also interesting is that the four things that you're collecting are these flames. So it's going to be four flames that you need to find in order to go access the final boss. And again, there's going to be this light and dark kind of contrast. Could be like a good versus evil, I don't know. But it does set up for an interesting ending. Thank you. All right, let's wrap up the conversation about Animal Well. So this is a very rewarding game, I feel. I think it has the opportunity to be divisive with certain people. Again, there's no instructions. It's really just completely fend for yourself. If you're someone who's played a lot of old school games, whether it's different Castlevania games or the original Zelda games, it might be your speed, but other people, it might not be kind of spoon-fed enough. And that's understandable because it can be frustrating if you don't know what to do and you might just be willing to give up because it's like, I don't know what the purpose of what I'm doing is. As well as the visuals, I think might deter a lot of people because it is super pixelated. And if you're somebody maybe a little younger who's used to sharp graphics, it might even give you a little bit of a headache. But I honestly feel like there is a lot here, especially in terms of feeling consistently accomplished. That is one of the themes that really rang true for me a lot. I like the open-ended exploration, and I also like that anytime you go somewhere and try something, you're going to find out that it can work. And the diversity of ways that things can be figured out is also very rewarding. You're constantly going through these aha moments, whether it's with the puzzles and the platforming, or whether it's with the actual tools that you have and what they can do. And so this game is equal parts challenge and simple, I feel, because there's really not much to it other than go explore and try to figure it out. But some of the challenges in the different puzzles can be tough. And again, I like how it's matter-of-factly presented. It's just like, here's the world, have at it, try to figure it out. And this impressive pool of the puzzles and the versatile tools just makes it so that really anybody can do some problem solving here and figure out what's going on. In terms of value, I think $25 is tough for an MSRP for this game, especially because it can be divisive. I think maybe $20 for an MSRP might be better, and then any sale where it's under $20 is really ideal. For me, I love the challenge. I love the open-endedness of this game. And so I'm really happy that I paid about $22 for it. I think that's a really good value. I beat it in about 7 hours, but there's tons of extra layered content in here that I think if someone's an old school gamer, you might really geek out about some of this stuff. This is a world that is swimming with color and charm and character. And I think that it'll provide a lot of satisfaction for anyone playing this game. And so I do highly recommend that you play Animal Well, because I think it's going to be a very, very rewarding experience. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Stay tuned for our next episode to see what new game we found for you.